Is it actually possible to create a safe and engaging social media app that kids love? That's the dilemma facing Facebook, which owns Instagram. Adam Mosseri, the head of Instagram, announced yesterday that the company is pausing plans to create a separate version of Insta for kids. But there's a lot of concern over what social media is doing to our kids' mental health.
Now, we're going to take a step back, and we're going to take that time to talk and listen to parents, safety experts, and researchers, and get to more consensus about how exactly to move forward. But we're also going to take some of the work that we did for Instagram Kids, specifically parental controls, and bring them to teens more broadly.
Sarah Fryer is here. She's the author of No Filter, The Story Inside of Instagram. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Facebook referred to this as a pause, but how likely is it that they actually go forward? I mean, some Democrats in Congress are calling on the company to abandon Instagram Kids altogether.
Well, I would even question whether it's a pause. I think that the company has been trying to build products for younger users for so many years now, especially for teens. And when it comes to Instagram, if you think kids aren't using Instagram, talk to 9-year-olds, talk to 10-year-olds. They and their friends are on Instagram. They're using it. I report in my book that they used to have teens come to do these roundtables back in 2015, where they would ask them about their usage of the app. And so they've been moving younger in their focus. I think that we are going to see it happen sometime. They just might wait for a more friendly PR environment to make the change.
Right. This is interesting what you're saying here, because I want to break down some of the reasons why something like this hasn't gained traction. A big part of the concern specifically around an app for kids is that internal Facebook documents show, the Wall Street Journal actually reported on this, that Instagram was harming the mental health of teenage girls in particular. And as you mentioned, kids are already there, though. They're already lying about their age in order to get on an app that is not for them, because they want to be at a place where they don't have controls. So how do you think Facebook is going to address all of this going forward?
I think Facebook is going to keep experimenting with what they can do without making as many people mad. You know, they respond to these crises by bringing their executives out there to say, hey, listen, we have the best of intentions. We're doing this in consultation with experts. And then reports like the Wall Street Journal's come out and say, actually, the company has been disingenuous about this. They knew it was harmful, but didn't do anything about it. And that is just the pattern that we've seen from Facebook Inc. over the past, you know, more than a decade of apologies and backtracking. We are still probably going to see some version of the app in the future, but they may have to figure out how to remarket it. It may not be called Instagram Kids. They're trying to figure out, how do we make this something that people are not afraid of?
Can we parse out the disingenuous part of it, though? Because other social media companies have grappled with this, too. I mean, TikTok created what it called a limited separate app experience for users under 13, but they can't share videos or comment on other people's videos or even message people. And YouTube has a kids version, too. So I'm just wondering, like, the success of these types of apps, is it a good business proposition?
It absolutely is, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to build a habit. All these apps lure you into the network as soon as they can, because that's the strength of the product. It's like showing them their favorite toothpaste. They're going to use it for the rest of their lives.
Well, to your point, I mean, critics like Democratic Representative Kathy Castor of Florida has compared these kids' apps to how tobacco companies in the past marketed to young people to get kids hooked early. What's your sense, though? I mean, we've talked around this conversation about whether or not it's viable, the ways that they can make a viable app, but is it even possible to create a version of Instagram that avoids the problems critics are warning?
The thing about Instagram that has led to all of this anxiety, to all of this comparison of oneself to others that has become so toxic for teens, it's all in the way the app is actually designed to incentivize you to come back. It's the follower count. It's the comments. It's the filters that encourage you to present your life as more beautiful and perfect than it actually is. when it comes to young people, what do? Do you take out the measurements? Do you take out the images? What does it end up being in a way that can be safe or can be comfortable for that age demographic? And I think it's really tough for the company to go that direction, because on the other hand, they're leaning deeper and deeper into the creator world, the people who are using Instagram semi-professionally or professionally. And for them, they're adding more metrics, they're adding more editing tools, more ways to compare their content. And so all of those things that really lead to anxiety are getting juiced up in some sense by the company.
Sarah Fryer is an editor for Bloomberg and the author of No Filter, The Inside Story of Instagram. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you for having me.